Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation! Vinnie Eastwood is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? Bad news. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists. It's Vinny's jokes. And my very special guest here is Gerald Salente from the Trans Research Institute, a man who's been on the airwaves since even I got on the airwaves during the early days, a young conspiracy theorist, Vinnie Eastwood, yelling at everybody that there are slaves and listening to like 6 hours a day of the Alex Jones on repeat, especially the Gerald Salente episodes. You know, you got to get your inspiration from somewhere. But anyway, thank you very much, Gerald, for joining us here. And this may be the last show of the year, and what a show it will be. And, of course, I've been arrested, allegedly going to court tomorrow. I just spoke to my lawyer this morning, Gerald, and he says they might defer it again. Now, we got arrested on August the 18th, and they've deferred our court case back and back and back all the way now till December 10th, and now they're looking at deferring it until next year again. During that entire time, we're not allowed to protest. We're not allowed to encourage anybody to protest or anything like that. And we can't contact each other, me and my mate Billy TK, who were working together, number one, number two, in the New Zealand truth movement, freedom fighters, publicly recognised, even in the media. You know, this is a brutal situation that we're going in, and I think that the rest of the world needs to know about it, because they're beta testing in Australia and New Zealand what they're about to do to the rest of the world, I think.
Well, they're doing it in the rest of the world. Look, you want to take a trip to Austria? Isn't it great? No vaccine, no freedom. It's coming up in Germany, too. Boy, Hitler would have really been happy, boy. And that's his hometowns, you know. So it's going on everywhere. We got a little clown over here in New York City, this de Blasio. Actually, Mayor de Blasio's real name is Warren Wilhelm Jr., and he changed it to get the Italian-American vote in New York City. He just mandated that all employers must have their workers of Slavelandia vaccinated, or else they can't open their businesses up. And children 5 to 11 years old must be vaccinated to go into any restaurant or any theater, cinema, or anywhere else. So this is going on globally. I mean, you go to, you know, our first cover of the Trends Journal magazine back in January 28th, 2020, when the coronavirus broke out in China, Yuan City, the cover was coronavirus, 106 dead in China. The next line was 1.4 billion still alive. What the hell you tell me?
You know, way to destroy your own punchline, you know?
Yeah. You know, who the hell is, you know, telling me to hunt? What am I? Oh, the reason they wear those masks is because the air pollution only kills 1.5 million a year. And then they used this to close down Hong Kong. They couldn't stop the Hong Kong protests. I'm getting back to you're talking about what's going on in New Zealand and Australia. And then one of our magazine covers was The Chinese Way You Must Obey. We used to make fun of the Chinese for wearing those masks. But could you believe it? China locked down a city. Who could you imagine this? Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm the mayor. I'm the governor. I'm the premier. I'm the chancellor. I'm the president. I'll lock down anything I want anywhere in the world. We've become the Chinese way. It's a total takeover by sociopaths, psychopaths, pathological liars, and little pieces of low-life crap that are telling us what to do. Look at the jerk you got over there in New Zealand. Take a trip over to Australia. What happened to that Gladys been jerking off over there? Oh, she's gone now for jerking off some guy, right? Oh, yeah, and what, a little Danny Andrews? How could any man or woman take orders from these little clowns? And they do it. And everywhere in the world. We got him over here as this little clown, Andy Cuomo, a daddy's boy. That was the governor. you know, one after another. So it's the destruction of humanity. You know, this fellow, George Gammon, was on his show, and he said to me, you know, Gerald, I've been studying the decline of empires. And what happens is, he told me the four stages.
You didn't first ask him, which one, Al's?
Yeah, you know, no, he started with Rome. And then he said, in each one, he gave me the four, but I forgot all of them, but the end one was the weak leading the weak. And here we are.
You see, it was in, what was it, 400 years ago or something like that. James Corbett did a thing about this. Some French philosopher, he wondered this. Why do people obey tyrants? And it's like, it's not because you're scared of them. I mean, look at these people. They're weak. You could, they're spindly, right? And the reason why people obey them, this philosopher found out, is indifference. People just don't care. They're comfortable enough to accept passively the orders of tyrants. And I say that it's about time that people go through kind of some of the hard traumas that I went through earlier in life, where you don't have enough money for food, where you don't know where you can get clean water from, where you don't know how you're going to pay your rent, where you don't know who your friends are, where you get all your stuff stolen, where you get lied to by authorities who make up evidence against you. People need to go through that kind of thing in order to realize that the world is not all sunshine, rainbows, and sugar-coated cupcakes.
Yeah, again, this has been going on forever. I mean, what was your favorite war? The Peloponnesian War? No, I liked the War of Roses. Wasn't that lovely? No, the Hundred Year War was for me. You know, it's been going on forever. You know, it's the human race, the inhuman race. And to me, the only thing that's going to change this, as I see it, is a renaissance of some sort, because I have to tell you how heartbroken I am as a visionary to see the future. It's hell on earth. Where I am up in Kingston, New York, this was the first capital of New York State, the third Dutch settlement, and very, very cool place. You know, pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings, beautiful, on the Hudson River. I just got back. I had to run out and get some stuff. Everybody outside is now wearing masks. All afraid of the Moronicrom virus. Yeah. Go into every store, everybody's masked up. The chances of getting the virus outside, by the way, not my numbers, the official numbers, are less than 1%. But yet people wear them. 78% of the people in America that have been hospitalized are either obese or overweight. You know, there's a saying, pigs can't fly. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
Go to the airport. They're flying, man. They're everywhere.
Is that why they had to make the jumbo jets even jumboer?
Yeah, the jumbo jets for the jumbos. Again, you look at the people in Africa, the numbers from the World Health Organization, they're like 17% of the population of the world. They got, you know, hardly any deaths at all. Oh, they talk about the homeless crisis. How come the hospitals aren't filled up with homeless people? They're filled with 78% of the people that have been hospitalized in America are either obese or overweight. 42% of Americans are obese. 70% are overweight. And again, the same thing starting to happen. I was in New Zealand, by the way. I think it was 2006. The government brought me over there. I was there for almost 3 weeks. And they brought me there to help them increase their exports and how to do it. I went from Auckland down to, was it Queensland?
Queenstown, yeah, the beautiful place.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been there and traveled all around. Beautiful, beautiful place. And but again, it's now freedom is being stolen everywhere. And you got this little clown of a nothing, and the people love her. They voted for her in again. And it's the same thing over in California. We got this little guy, Gavin, the governor, you know, locked down the joint, first state to lock down. People voted him back in. They had a recall of his election. So the people are been gutless for for centuries, but it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams, one of the founders of America. And that's what it's going to take. And you're doing it, and you're a brave man, and that's why I'm on your show.
Well, Gerald, there's a lot of people who disagree with you, because when you're squealing and crying...
Who disagrees with me? You know one of the dumbest crap junk they shove down your throat and stick in your mind? They say, like when the guy's a president or whatever, what will his legacy be? Your legacy? Hey, dumbbell, you're dead. What the hell do you care what people think of you when you're dead?
I can't.
People think of me while I'm alive.
I have a point on that, actually. I had a point on that, actually. I was driving down the road one day and I was, you know, what do you want to accomplish in life? What do you want to accomplish after you're dead, right? And I was like, hey, man, what I want to accomplish is I want somebody who's like, through their works in some small ripple effect kind of way, they've actually been responsible for the saving of 1 million human lives from the orderly extermination by the New World Order. And when I'm dead, I want them to come up at my funeral and say something like, I thought about giving up my fight. I thought about stopping doing what I was doing because it was too hard. But then there was this guy, Vinnie Eastwood, and he taught me about the lighter side of genocide. And I thought, yeah, that's actually pretty funny. I might as well continue. And I did. Yeah. And interestingly enough, the very next day, I didn't tell anybody I thought this, a guy named Kevin Galilee, who's written 10 books about the United Nations covert depopulation agenda, made a comment on my post saying almost word for word exactly that thought. And the thought about it is this, that I've already accomplished in life everything I want to accomplish in death. I could die now at any time and I can die happy. That means I've got nothing to lose. They can't really threaten me with anything. But what they're threatening me with now is not my life. It's not my freedom. It's what'll happen to my wife. What'll happen to my daughter if I go to prison. That's the kind of thing when they try to take your family from you or take you from your family. That's the kind of thing I really have trouble being brave in the face of.
Oh, sure. Of course you should be. You know, my saying, hell to me is taking that last breath and knowing you aren't the person you said you were or could have been. And we are now in what's going on now, who would have ever thought that life would have devolved into this? Things were crappy before. Who would have ever thought it would have declined into this? They've sucked the joy out of life. Think of the morons and imbeciles and the stupid crap they shoved down our throat. When I was a kid, you know, I'm the first of the baby boomers. I'm born in 1946, right at the height, man. Perfect time. I was the youngest of five, so I had brothers and sisters born in the 1930s, you know, grandparents in the 1890s, you know, and before that. But anyway, and I was born in the Bronx, so I was born to be free. I look at now what's happened and how freedom has been stolen from the people and who they are and what they are. So to me, hell is taking that last breath and knowing you aren't the person you said you were or could have been. And the could have been is who would have ever believed that they would be doing this to us now and robbing us of our freedom, our dignity, and our respects. So as a little kid, they had us doing air raid drills. In case an atom bomb went off, they had us hiding under a desk, scaring the hell out of us. Hey, dumbbell, if an atom bomb goes off and I'm under a desk, what difference does it make? I'll tell you, Salenti, what difference it makes. It makes the same difference that when you're in an airplane, you could eat and you could drink without the mask on. But as soon as you stop eating and drinking, put that mask on, because the virus knows when you stop eating or drinking and it could kill you. When you go into a restaurant, you got to walk in with the mask on. When you stand up to go to the bathroom or to leave, you got to put the mask on. But when you're sitting down at table height, the virus doesn't go there. It knows table height. It's afraid of it. What I'm saying to you is the same sick people that had us doing these air raid drills and scaring the hell out of me as a little kid are now ruining the lives of little children and what we used to call adults.
We used to call them adults. I like that term because you look around and I think the Native Americans believed that not every boy becomes a man. Many rise to adulthood, but they don't actually become men, all right? Men are actually supposed to be able to take risks, accomplish great feats of sacrifice and of courage. And now what we have is people who have no feats, no sacrifice, and no courage. We have mercenaries, people who are in uniform, who are being paid to enforce certain things, and we have their devoted cult members indoctrinated over the course of their lives into the belief that truth comes from authority and that no authority comes from truth.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine people look up to these little pieces of crap? This is sickening. It's and again, going back, what I was saying, the young people today, little kids, they're all masked up, all freaked out, all these stupid rules and crap they're teaching them in school. These are going to be the next leaders, the next people running companies, the next people in charge. They're going to take what they're learning now, the fear, the hysteria, and the control, and they're going to pass it on and double it up. The future is going to be hell on earth unless we have a real freedom movement. And I want to mention something else, very important. You know, I was going to say this briefly. I began my career at a graduate school running very important guy running the mayoral campaign of Yonkers, New York. That's right outside of New York City, a city of 200,000 people. And then I worked on district attorney campaigns, you know, Senate campaigns, and they sent me up to Albany, the state capitol, and I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate at 26 years old. I designed and instructed a course called American Politics and Campaign Technology, how to run political campaigns, and taught it at St. John's University. I was the chief government affairs specialist for the chemical industry, killing environmental legislation at the height of the environmental movement back in the 1970s. I have pictures of me and Ronald Reagan, pick him up at the airport, blah, 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 Chicago Hilton, on and on. Been with princes, prime ministers, presidents. I say this because I've been on the other side. The protests that people are doing don't work. They're as useless as signing petitions to send them to the government, and I'm going to tell you why. And again, the motto of the magazine, the Trends Journal, the only place we're going to read history before it happens, is think for yourself. So I'm not telling people what to say or what to believe. How did the Berlin Wall come down? Day after day, night after night, week after week, people came and sat, didn't leave. More people came, didn't leave. More people came, more people came, more people came, more people came, and they outnumbered those little boys and girls that play tough guys and girls when they're all armored and all their buddies are around them. They outnumbered them, 60,000 to one. Boop, they put down their guns, took off their drag uniforms off, and wall came down. Number two, current events form future trends. There was a protest going on in a place called India of 1.4 billion people. Farmers protest. This guy Modi tried to push through a law that would have destroyed the farmers and give it all to the big corporations. They went out to the streets day after day, night after night, week after week, month after month. They wouldn't leave. Oh, they killed a couple of dozen of them, the government. They wouldn't leave. They repealed the act about 3 weeks ago. Number three, back in 1982, and I'll never forget it, there was a protest in New York City against the increase of nuclear weapons in America. It was one of the biggest protests ever in this country. Almost 1 million people packed into Central Park. The defense secretary at the time, his name was Caspar Weinberger. He's interviewed the next day, and he said, yep, that was a very, very impressive rally, and people took notice to it. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't change the mind of what we're going to do.
Now, what's happening in New Zealand at the moment is since me and Billy TK got arrested on August the 18th and haven't even been able to enter our pleas yet, by the way, we were banned from the internet, banned from mobile devices. Since then, there've been protests of 10,000 people down at the Capitol in Wellington in front of Parliament, 20,000 people in Auckland, and now there seem to be protests almost every Saturday happening all around the country with huge amounts of people turning up. And me and Billy, we can't participate in that. It's against our bail conditions, right?
Wow.
And I was just thinking, it reminded me of Darren Watson. He was a guitarist here in New Zealand. And during the re-election of John Key, who's a former Federal Reserve banker who came back to New Zealand to be a prime minister at the height of the 2008 financial crisis, which was caused by derivatives, guess what his speciality when he was working at the board of the Federal Reserve Board of New York was, as Merrill Lynch's representative, who went belly up because of derivatives. Anyway, protesting outside his house and doing all of these things, you realize something after a while, that all they're going to do is change the guard. You swap out this smiling assassin for this smiling assassin. It doesn't matter if they belong to one party or the other. They're all working together in lockstep. And this is what people have to realize. A political solution is not going to be found to this. It has to be from the grassroots up. Every time you complain upwards, they have the ability to shut you down. Every time that you grow upwards, they can't put you down.
That's right. They're public servants, and they got to get that in their head. Again, I've been there. You know, when I quit the Senate job, people couldn't believe I quit. It was not the way I grew up. You know, I'm a guy, you know, again, you know, you learn how to fight. I was a little kid. You know, the bullies try to pick on me right away, you know, so I knew the game. And I'd be in the Senate talking to my buddies, and all of a sudden a senator would walk in, they follow him to the seat, pull back the chair and help him sit down. They come back. I say, hey, man, what's the matter? Cat can't sit down by himself. He needs some help. He said, oh, Gerald, you have that kind of an attitude. You won't make it here. I said, listen, man, that ain't my kind of trip. When I was a little kid, a situation would break out and I didn't know what it meant. And my mother, may her soul rest in peace, would say to me, I hate cowards. And that's all they are. They're cowards that are in charge. You call these guys out, these little, could you imagine a Danny Andrews coming to somebody and telling them what to do? As we'd say in the Bronx, they wouldn't know whether to piss or shit when you call them out. They're nobodies. The people will only win, as I said, when they protest and don't leave. And you made the perfect point, they're not political parties. What they actually are, by their deeds you shall know them, they're crime syndicates. It's a crime syndicate. Imbeciles and morons call them a government.
I saw a great cartoon one time. Little boys saying, hey, Dad, I want to get into organized crime. And Dad says, what, government or private sector?
There you got it.
Right.
And, well said.
And you look at the intelligence agencies and stuff like that, and allegedly there's shareholding, stakeholders and things like that. The big private corporate banks that create our money supplies out of thin air and bribe everybody with unlimited unrecompense are also capable of making all the intelligence agencies of the world work to the exact same playbook. How is this possible? How much does intelligence cost? Oh, it costs a heck of a lot. Oh, okay. How do you fund it without people finding out about it? Well, you need a black ops budget. Well, how do you make that? Well, you've got to sell drugs or steal stuff or something like that. Oh, okay. Well, why don't we just make all the drugs illegal, run them ourselves, blame it on the blacks, and then use all the black ops to fund all of our shady deals? You know what, mate? This is brilliant. It'll also give you the opportunity to encroach on every single person's life who wants to have a joint. It'll allow us to have complete control over their lives, as well as complete surveillance over the entire world's controlling apparatuses to make sure nobody makes a step that we don't like. Hey, you! You're trying to sell gold. What are you doing? What about you? You're trying to sell oil for gold. No. No. We're going to send it in there, boys. How much Black Ops budget we got? Can we send in some secret guys over there? Yeah, no worries. We'll fund them with some Stinger missiles, mate. Stinger missiles. She'll sort it out. You see, you can control things very easily if you just don't got a conscience. But if you do got a conscience, the thing that occurs to you is that other people who have a conscience don't necessarily need to be told what to do. They just need to be given the information about what's really going on. And the reason why so many people who allegedly and think that they've got a conscience aren't doing the right thing is because virtually all the information is now controlled.
It's always been like that. It's never been different. You know, you go back to, remember the Maine. The Hearst newspapers back when the United States started going to war with Cuba. You know, they've always been in charge. Again, there's nothing new about it. Nothing new. It's just a different time. Again, name me your favorite war. Go back, what happened, in 1873? What happened in, 1680 BC. I mean, they make up, it's been going on forever.
Now, what's different about today, though, is that we've got access to very, very advanced technology. Technology maybe people haven't really had in their hands before, or at least not for the last few thousand years. Now, there's a possibility, or at least this is my theory. I'm a big sci-fi guy, so I'm going with the sci-fi story. We know all the facts, we know all the details and stuff like that, but what you really need is a story. So the story begins long ago when a really advanced civilization got taken over by a bunch of technocratic scumbags who had no conscience, and they had the ability to manipulate and sabotage and steal and lie shamelessly without guilt, and they passed those traits on to their children. They intermarried into all the world's most powerful families, and then they decided that just as they were about to be exposed for being who they are and what they are, that they would destroy that empire. And from the ashes, they would rise, still in possession of the technology, still in possession of the manipulative techniques, and down through the generations, they've raised and destroyed empires by marrying into their families, giving them access to certain stuff, and then destroying them, and then able to move on completely and utterly undetected by the historians of their day, and maybe undetected entirely until today, now when they have almost total control. They almost have what they want, and we're all that stands in their way.
They found a skull that's 30 million years old. Remember that? Just a couple of months ago. 30 million years old. I thought everything began, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments around that time. In other words, we don't have a clue, as I see it. You know, one of my fellow used to work for me, may his soul rest in peace, John Anthony West. You know, The Mystery of the Sphinx was one of his books. And we did a big movie on it. Very, very well known. And he proved that the Sphinx is not 10,000 years old. It's much older. And that the water damage at the base of the Sphinx, the damage at the base of the Sphinx is water damage, so it predated the Sahara Desert. Of course, everybody refuses to acknowledge that because, no, life wasn't going on back then. What I'm saying to you is that we don't have as I see it, we don't have a clue. Where there are more galaxies than grains of sand. And so something is much bigger going on that is beyond what we know about. And to me, as I see it, this Earth has been destroyed many times over and over again. And I think it keeps coming back. Every time it declines because of the destruction that happens, it comes back dumber than it was. You know, I just got back. There's a place called Marshall's. It's a chain. And I used to buy a lot. It was like great stuff there. I buy great clothes, you know, and not expensive, beautiful stuff. They buy things that, you know, that the big companies, they didn't sell all of them. And then they would resell them after they went out of style, you know, quote. I went there today, not one cashmere sweater, nothing of style, row after row of what they call athletic wear. Crappy polyester and other stuff, hood junk garbage. Nothing of quality and dignity, as you are well-dressed and well-respected for who what you respect yourself. Those days are gone. You go back when America was at the height of selling the American spirit. When was that? Oh, in the 1930s. You mean at the height of the Great Depression? Yeah, that's right. Some of the hottest, happiest music that ever hit the world, called swing time. Yeah, yeah. When everything is low, you know, grab your coat and take your hat, leave your worries by the doorstep. Life could be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I have a photograph of my parents' wedding. May their souls rest in peace. 1934. They're immigrants. You should see the way they're dressed. They worked in fish stores, factories, laborers. Style that can't come close now. Buffett, Gates, Zuckerberg, Musk, Bezos couldn't come close. Couldn't come close. And that was the American spirit. Gone. Gone. And that's the height of the Depression. Now, it's a shit show everywhere you go. As I said, they say the pigs can't fly. Been to the airport lately?
There is a whole bunch of shit everywhere, isn't there? And there's actually a god of shit. The Aaron Dykes and Melissa Dykes found this out. And it turns out that all you've got to do is just put it out there. And get people thinking about it.
Just stop at that statement. You said Melissa and Bill Gates.
No. Aaron Dykes and Melissa Dykes. They did documentaries for InfoWars.
Go on. But
anyway, so there's this god of crap, all right? And what they think is, and you know how we're all dealing with these dark occultists and stuff like that up there, but they're into weird stuff. Like, literally, there is just an obsession with poo everywhere. And it's trying to, like, you know how the brain's got no firewalls? I can tell you about a woman who's running along the beach, who's naked, and she's in slow motion, and you can almost see her breast jiggling, can't you? You see, the brain's got no firewalls. We've got no protection from it. So if you put a shit culture out there, it starts to come inside as well. Now, if there's everybody talking shit around you, don't be surprised if you eventually can't do anything but think shit.
Yep, that's the time. You know, again, the culture's going down big time. The only thing to me that's going to save it is the Renaissance. And by the way, the Renaissance followed the Black Plague. The Black Plague happened when they say 60% of Europe was wiped out because of the filth, the sanitation. So the people got it in their heads. What, you know, we better go back. A la Romana, a l'antique, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients, to describe the quality of their work. And as I mentioned to you, you go back to the hottest, happiest music America ever knew, swing time. It was at the worst time, the greatest depression. So to me, that's, and by the way, here's my real fear. What followed the Great Depression? Oh, World War II.
Mm.
What followed World War I? The bank system failed and America was going down before World War I, the same thing in Europe. When all else fails, they take you to war. There was this little arrogant, stupid little piece of crap, a little daddy's boy by the name of George W. Bush, a little nobody, a little geek of a freak of a nothing little clown. The only reason he's there is a daddy's boy, George Bush Sr. and Prescott Bush. Yeah, the guy that sold Hitler all this stuff. Yeah, that one. Dot-com busts happened in March of 2020. And now a magazine, the Trends Journal, October 1999, headline, dot-com bust. We said it would happen by the second quarter of 2000. It happened. What happens? Whew, deep recession. The NASDAQ was down 66% right before 9/11. Oh, 9/11 happened. Forget about the recession. Forget about Bush's popularity plummeting. Now we're going to go to war against Afghanistan. 88% of the people bought it. Forgot about it. Forgot about the dot-com bust. You were talking before about the derivatives. Also, what was going on then? Subprime mortgages artificially propped up the economy. Bush starts another war in Iraq. People still love him. Keeps on going. When all else fails, they take you to war. That's my greatest fear. Because the next war will be the war when they asked a guy by the name of Albert Einstein, who knew a thing or two about the atomic bomb, they asked him, what weapons will be used in the Third World War? He said, I don't know. But they'll be using sticks and stones to fight the Fourth World War.
We face a intergenerational threat. And this is the thing, you know, how you were talking before about legacy. I talked to G. Edward Griffin about this, and he started the Red Pill University. Because I think once you reach a certain age and you're so full of all these stories and all this knowledge and all this wisdom and all this experience and that kind of thing, it's an obligation upon you to pass that knowledge on before you're gone. Because when everybody who knows you is gone, the memory of you dies too, you know.
That's right. Again, you know, I'm only where I am. I told you the stuff I used to do as a younger guy. I didn't know any better. I just, you know, I wanted to make money and do other things, you know. And you get it with wisdom if you keep learning. And I study every day. I mean, the magazine, you know, it's like this week's magazine is 135 pages. It's a weekly, no advertisements. We're giving everything we have. I've been doing this for 42 years. You know, so that's why at one time they used to look up to the elders. Oh, by the way, this is important too. Now, you tell me if I'm wrong about this. All of the protests that I see around are all older people, not young people.
Vast majority, yep.
Yep. The young people around, that all the ones I know, the first to get the injection. And they're not protesting. Very, very few. And to me, young people, you know, as a guy, you know, I just turned 75 years old. To me, young people, you know, are 30 years and younger, you know. So, I mean, you know, so I don't see a lot of 35-year-olds down to 20-year-olds, and certainly very, very few teenagers. Maybe I'll see some little kids because they're going with their parents or grandparents. But I don't see young people protesting.
Mm. I mean, if they had their iPhones taken away or something, man, they'd be out protesting in a New York minute. But I mean, it's just like, what do you really care about? What do you love? Have your freedom taken away? Oh, no. That's all right. I can have my freedom taken away. I can still have a latte, though, can't I? As long as I'm wearing a mask and something. What do you want? Your bodily privileges taken away? No. Everybody else can have access to my body. Is that fine? You know, just injecting in my arm or something like that. Okay, what about your freedom of speech being taken away? No, I've got nothing to say. It's all right.
My iPhone. Now you're talking. That's it. That's the way to start the revolution. You nailed it.
Oh, God. You know how sometimes you think life would just be easier if you accidentally stabbed yourself in the head with a screwdriver, or perhaps deliberately during some of these real important realizations that you have about the frustrations that exist with the very, very narrow mind view of other people. I mean, I've spent the last 13 years, I spent my 20s and my early 30s, they're now gone because I spent all of that time talking to my elders, talking to people who are involved in stuff that I never want to be involved in because it's too scary, but I still talk to them about it anyway. 2,000 individuals talking about stuff nobody wants to hear about. People that nobody has heard about, and they don't want to listen to them because the things that they say are far too challenging for their beliefs or far too terrifying to admit that they exist, right? Yep. That's what I spent my 20s and my 30s doing, and now here I am, and I realize something, that all of that knowledge is absolutely worthless unless you do something with it.
Yep. As I said, to me, hell is taking that last breath and knowing you aren't the person you said you were or could have been.
Mm.
Again, I'm working harder now than I've ever had in my life. And I've been working hard my whole life. We're doing everything we can to give the people the best we can, to help them prepare, prevail, and prosper in these times ahead. We just put out our top trends for 2022, and it's going to be a wild ride into the future unless we change it. And again, it could change. There's no question about it. It can change.
Indeed.
And it's up to people to make it happen. Again, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams, one of the founders of the country and the Constitution, you know. And that's what we need to do. Again, could you imagine Danny Andrews? Can you imagine that little shit coming to me? You know, who the hell are you talking to? Get the hell out of here.
I don't even know who Danny Andrews is, and I still don't find that funny. So how much longer do we have in your busy schedule here Gerald? Because I really don't want to keep you.
Have a couple more minutes.
Okay. Well, I'll try and give you this, and this is for the last of the year, ladies and gentlemen. My little presentation on who we are, what reality is, and what our place in it happens to be. How do you determine a fact? By asking the journalistic questions: who, what, when, where, how, and why. How do you determine a three-dimensional object is real? It has a bottom, it has a top, it has a front and a back, and it has two sides, just like the who, what, when, where, why, and how. How's the nature of the universe and everything structured? Well, it's holographic, all right? Somebody asked me once, okay, Vinny, just give it to us straight. Is the Earth round or is it flat? And I said, well, it's actually a holographic fractal projection of collective consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. And they went, whoa. And I say, you know, it sounds complex, but it's not complicated. All right. If I took a picture of Gerald right now and then put it into a hologram and tried to delete it, the picture of Gerald would still be there, just at half the resolution. Try to delete it again, still there, half the resolution. You ever have a traumatic memory that you thought you got rid of and then somebody triggers it and it comes back full frame? Because your memory is holographic, so is the universe. It goes a little bit deeper though. You go into the fractal, you have a look at the cell inside your finger, then you find out that cell's made up of all these other cells, and one inside that is made up of all these other cells, and one inside that is made up of all these others. What if I'm a cell on this planet? What if our planet is a cell in our galaxy? What if the galaxy is a cell in the universe? The universe a cell in a much larger macro organism that we don't even have a concept of yet. This is how things work. Nothing can be forgotten, and everything's either a larger or smaller representation of something else. This is where your collective consciousness comes into view. Every bit of matter is conscious. They did this thing called a double slit experiment where they had an electron gun with a proton a projectile. They figured what was going to happen is when they shot it through these two slots with an aluminium foil at the back, it would just go bang and then bang, right? And they'd figure out how it exploded. But it didn't. It went bang! Turned into a wave, like a ripple pattern on the back of the thing. They're like, whoa, that's cool. Let's put a little camera down there and see what happens. Bang! Bang! The proton got stage fright. Because it was being observed, it behaved differently. Because it has consciousness. All matter does. Protons, neutrons, electrons, even morons have consciousness. And this is where it comes into the projection of you, all right? You're experiencing this as Gerald Celente. I'm experiencing this as Vinny Eastwood. You, listening to this, you're experiencing this as you. But where do you come in such an infinitely complex system? Well, you're a fifth-dimensional creative entity. First dimension's a dot, second dimension's a line, third dimension's a box, the fourth dimension is that box moving through time. And the fifth dimension is that box beyond time, beyond space, and that's where all your thoughts are right now while I'm talking to you. They don't really exist, and your job as a creative entity is to get those fifth dimensional thoughts, spend your fourth dimensional time willing them into the three dimensional universe. Only there can they be observed, only there can they be heard, only there can they be tasted and touched, and only then can they inspire the fifth dimensional creative thoughts of other people who are able to observe it. This is why you are obligated to bring the things in your imagination into the real world, because if you do not, you will look at the people who do with a profound sense of resentment, because you are not fulfilling your life purpose. For as the Greeks said, your job is to plant a tree whose shade you know you shall never get to sit beneath.
Bravo. And you know, you said you were concerned about your wife and your daughter if you were thrown in jail, or, you know. Yeah, I would not be me if I didn't have the parents I had. Matter of fact, today's a sad day for me. It's the day my father passed away many years ago. May his soul rest in peace. I'm only me. I'm only me because of where I came from. And that's what your daughter is going to realize more and more as she gets older and older, is that she has the fight, the spirit, the passion that she got from her mother and father. And to see her father doing what you're doing, you know, that's one in a couple of hundred million. So thank you for all that you're doing.
And thank you, Gerald, as well. And trendsresearch.com is your website for people who want more information and to subscribe to your weekly newsletter now, is it?
Yeah, weekly, the Trends Journal, yep.
It didn't start off as a weekly, though, did it?
It started off as a quarterly. It started off as a quarterly in 1991 with 8 pages. And now it's a weekly, and its average is about 130 pages a week. No advertisements, no pictures, no nothing. Just facts. And forecast, trend forecast. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what we suggest you consider doing to prepare, prevail, and prosper in these very difficult times. So, but thank you for what you're doing. And again, you know, as tough times you're going through, you know, you got a lot ahead of you. And that the government is doing this to you, and for what you're doing, for protesting? How dare you protest? You know, again, the Chinese way, you must obey. And that's what we've become. And by the way, one of our trends for 2021 was China 2021. And unfortunately, the 20th century was the American century. The 21st century is going to be the Chinese century, unless we change it. And the reason being is that the business of America has been war. The business of China is business.
Hmm. Gerald Celente, thank you so much for your time, brother.
And thank you, Vinny, and all the best to you and your family.
Thanks, man. See you later. All right, Gerald Celente, ladies and gentlemen. You know, great dude, and really good to have him on. Last show of the season, folks. So yeah, I don't know what's happening with my court case tomorrow, guys. So if there is going to be a court case at all, spoke with my lawyer this morning saying that it's probably going to be pushed back or something like that. So regardless, thank you very much for watching, and please donate at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com/donate.html. Just go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news, and just click the little donate tab. Should take you to this page here. You can support my band, Vinny and the Vendettas, on Patreon, and please think about setting up automatic payments and stuff like that, because I've been doing this a very, very long time. Not going anywhere unless, of course, I get exterminated, in which case we probably still might need the automatic payments to see if it's my wife and daughter or something like that. Anyways, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. It's neither here nor there. But anyway, Debbie Lacey's asked me what court it is. I don't know, is the answer. Like, In less than 12 hours, it's going to be the date of my court appearance. And I still don't know if I'm going to appear, or where, or at what time. I'm not sure if you guys have ever experienced this kind of thing before, but I miss my brother Billy. Like, a lot. I talk to him every day. Always doing stuff. Always broadcasting. I'm always helping him out with technical issues and things like that, and I can't do that because of our bail conditions and stuff, and it just it kills me, man. I can't even ask people to turn up and support me because I don't know what you'd be supporting or where you'd go. It was a great show with Gerald, and I feel really good about it. And I'm going up on another show in about 40 minutes, so I've got to get off this one. And with that being said, thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation. Vinnie Eastwood is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? Bad news. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists. It's Vinny's jokes.